This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Once again, remind you that Brian O'Hara, the chief of police in Minneapolis, on this show at 2:35. Great work by Dave Harrigan. This on a day when the city council, by a vote of 11-0, approved dramatic changes in police reform by their words. Will it be dramatically different by actions? Do these changes strike the right balance where people are treated more appropriately, more respectfully, and also you're still going to be tough on those who repeatedly are involved in criminal behavior? We're going to find out, but we'll ask some of those questions to the police chief, Brian O'Hara, at the bottom of the hour. That means Am I Wrong with Dave Harrigan is up right now.
Hi, everybody. Dave Harrigan here. You know, I don't claim to be the smartest guy in the world. We've got Chad for that. But every once in a while, isn't it nice to hear Mr. Brilliant admit he's not the only guy in the world with some answers?
He's absolutely right.
That's why we play a little game called Am I Wrong?
Do you feel like since I'm sick, I'm 63% of my normal self, that you may be taking advantage of me in Am I Wrong?
I don't see how one could be. How I could take advantage of you. It seems like you just agree with me and then you'd be on the right side of history. It's all these times that you decide to argue with me that you make a fool of yourself. So perhaps, considering you're not feeling as well as you normally do, you take the easy route, which happens to be the smart route in this case. Just say, yep, Dave, you're right. I've got nothing else to say.
That's unlikely. I mean, it would help if you were close to correct a couple times. It would make it a lot easier.
Well, let's see what you think of this one then. We'll start on the lighter side. In fact, it's something we discussed around this time last hour when you were chatting with Paul Molitor, Hall of Famer. The pitch clock. We've finally seen it. We have finally seen it now in regular season baseball. Trials in the minors and, of course, spring training. But we had day one yesterday, and the game times, whoo boy, a lot of them around the 2.5 hour mark. A couple still in the threes, high scoring games, but it was evident on day one at least that the pitch clock making a major difference in the pace and the overall length of the game. I am ready to say after one day, the pitch clock has turned the sport of baseball, as you're listening or watching it on TV, the pace of the game, it's almost more like basketball now, where something's happening every 10 to 15 seconds. And I'm going to say it is the best rule change in pro sports since the NBA adopted the three-point shot in 1979.
Am I wrong?
Whoa. Now, 10 years ago, and before that, I probably would have scoffed at the pitch clock. I would have said, give me a break. Baseball's different than the other sports. I'm 1,000% in favor of the pitch clock. In fact, in watching a significant portion of yesterday's ball game where the club won, I think there still might be a few too many exceptions where they're allowed to step off. I'd have to think about that. Greatest rule. My first instinct is you're right.
Of course it is.
I mean,
follow your instincts.
Well, my first instinct normally is not that. Okay. Again, if my first instinct is I'm thinking you're right, I'm for sure sick. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. The NBA, you know, the three-point shot didn't change it as much as what's happened with this whole pace and space situation in the last decade, where all of a sudden there are too many three-point shots. I enjoyed the game more in the 90s and the aughts when it wasn't as three-point dominated as it is. But, Dave, it's just analytics. It's the same thing with the shifts and all sorts of other things. I don't blame a soul on any NBA team. In fact, I would blame you for your failure if you did not take advantage of it.
Sure. And the NBA could move the line back or something. But, I mean, introducing it revolutionized the game, I think, for the good much more than the bad, you would agree.
It opened up the – well, do I think the game is better? I don't think the game is better than it was in the 90s and aughts. I don't – and before. I don't. I enjoy those games better.
No, I mean pre and post three-point line. The game is better with a three-point line than without. I agree. 90s basketball was, in, you know, early 2000s, more interesting and more compelling to watch than, you know, three guys always standing behind the arc waiting for a pass out there to put one up. But
yeah, it's like and trust me, I'm going to watch tonight's game. Maybe when I'm begging somebody to bring me a hot toddy. The play that drives me nuts in the NBA, and again, it's numbers, so I don't fault them, is here we come down on a fast break, right? 3-on-1. I got the ball. You spread out to one point in the arc. Fry goes the other side. You know, I hate that, but it's the numbers. So that rule kind of opened up the doors to it decades later. Football, what would be the biggest, like the, I guess, penalizing defensive players the way they have, and so allowing more points to be scored, would that be the comparable in that?
I guess. I mean, major rule changes recently. I mean, obviously there's moving the extra point back. There's what they've done with kickoffs. Changes to penalties.
You know, hockey would be overtime and 3-on-3.
Mm-hmm. Getting rid of the two-line pass, that was a good one in hockey to open the game
That was
up.
A good one also, you know. Baseball needed it more than any other sport, though. I mean, when Paul Molitor is saying it's hard to watch, that's just the truth. As a person who still really enjoys this game, who, I mean, play-by-play was a huge part of my life, the couple years of the Twins and some opportunities other times for a long time in my life, I really, really want to get back to that. And eventually, when I was lucky enough to get an opportunity, it wasn't the right time in my life. But I've had a tough time. I'm sure you have too, Dave. How many times the last decade plus you come home, you go do like 19 things, you come back, it's in the fifth inning.
Yes.
It's paint dry or watch another 7-4 through 4.5 innings with endless pitching changes. So it really has a chance to improve this game. And what I think is very stunning, too, is how, I'm not going to say unanimous, but awfully close. I mean, are we seeing prominent people in the game push back against this? Because it doesn't stand out to me.
No. I mean, it's been, I can't think of one. You know, there's a complaint here and there about maybe something on the periphery, but I don't think anybody said, no, the rule change is ridiculous and baseball was just fine before the pitch clock. I think everyone is saying, yes, let's pick up the pace. And I mean, just listening to the game yesterday, listening to Corey and Danny on my drive home. Just in the broadcast, you can tell how much different the game is. I mean, they're moving. There's not downtime in the broadcast anymore, let alone the actual game on the field.
I'm getting plenty of offers for a hot toddies right now.
Taking up on any?
I'm very tempted to. Very tempted. You're right. You are correct in your first statement. You know I'm not feeling well. I've agreed with you. More of Am I Wrong with Harrigan, and do not forget the police chief of Minneapolis, Brian O'Hara, on the agreement reached and dramatic police reforming coming out. This, of course, is after the Human Rights Commission pointed out just overt and direct racism against the Minneapolis Police Department. Have they struck the right balance? What was Brian O'Hara's involvement? Is there anything that he has pause on? The police chief is with us in 15 minutes on CCO. I'm going to talk John Schuster. John Schuster's the type of guy, if he's your friend, he would bring over a hot toddy. I have no doubt about that. Don't forget, with the Schuster Group, okay, you can get a cash offer and also the opportunity to get the best offer. You need to protect your equity. And Craig and Brenda in Lakeville were reminded of that when they were ready to relocate. They had a lot of options. 12,000 real estate agents in this area. Even so, they were savvy. They knew there was only one team to call, the Schuster Group. John's marketing system is on a whole different level than the average agent in the Twin Cities. The team spends tens of thousands on marketing each month to get your home sold fast and for the most money possible. John got Craig and Brenda's home sold for top dollar, and the marketing paid off. So, if you want the best offer in your home, and of course you do, you got to trust my friend, John Schuster. Again, six-time winner as a top 10 team in North America for Coldwell Banker. Not Minnesota, not just America, North America. That's how highly, it just tells you what the results, what they are when you work with John. Track him down, johnschustergroup.com, or call him, 952-222-9000.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I always like when Laura joins the show.
Not today.
I don't like that she feels like she needs to join the show because the weather forecast has turned even worse. Your state, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, your season, you love spring.
Uh-huh.
You know, you and your Eagle cam.
Oh, I love my Eagle seriously. Cam. The Eagles are just fine in this stuff. It's us that is the problem, right? Okay, so here's the big news, Chad. This is
what's
from the
on?
National Weather Service. All the bells and whistles were just going off in the newsroom because The Weather Service has now expanded the blizzard warning for Minnesota to include the Twin Cities Metro and Western Wisconsin.
Oh, beautiful.
We can expect snowfall rates of 1 to 2 inches an hour for several hours, winds gusting to 40 to 50 miles per hour. The snow should get started later this afternoon and then transition to heavy snow this evening. Total amounts ranging from 5 to 10 inches. So, blizzard warning in effect for now.
Thanks a lot, Laura.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm sick. It's going to be disgusting outside.
I'm with you.
Do you and Dave both want to meet me somewhere for a hot toddy?
I think so, yeah. Where are we going? And who's driving me home?
That's true. Dave, you have a helicopter.
Several, in fact.
You have several. Who makes the best hot toddy?
I don't know that I've had a hot toddy in this town.
Oh, they're so good.
I don't think I have.
Yeah, they're so good. All right, we'll get back to the Weather Center and just depress us more throughout the rest of the afternoon.
I'm sorry. Paul Douglas should have more for us at 3. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Expanding a blizzard warning leading to April 1st.
You know what this means? As we still like to reminisce about the Halloween blizzard, 20, 30 years from now, we're going to be talking about the April Fool's blizzard.
Not on this show, we won't.
Well, that's because you won't be around on this show anymore.
Yeah. Well, the way I've felt off and on the last 5 weeks might be over.
50-50 chance we'll hear from you Monday?
I don't. 45-55 against. That's where I'm at right now. All right, what do we have next for Am I Wrong?
I've been paying attention to a lot of news articles the last couple weeks about life expectancy and health issues within the U.S. Been seeing maternal mortality as its highest it's ever been. Life expectancy in this country right now, 76.1 years compared to other countries of comparable wealth. The average is 84.4. I learned today that 4% of five-year-olds will not make it to their 40th birthday.
What was that again?
4%, so 1 in 25 or 4 in 100 five-year-olds on average right now today will not make it to their 40th birthday. People dying very young is what's really dragging down our life expectancy in America. We have an absolute national crisis on our hands that far too many people are far too few people are talking about, and frankly, far too few people care to do anything about.
No, you're right again. And it's a global situation because I think you stumble upon the biggest one right there. I mean, now it's how do we pronounce it? Ozempkin? Or what is the thing that all the stars are taking? Ozempic?
Ozempic, ayahuasca.
Ozempic, whatever the heck it is. How about moderation? How about exercise? How about seeing a doctor? How about taking care of yourself? That is such a huge one. And it's one we've talked about on the show many, many times before. And I get it's not as easy for some compared to others. It's not the cheapest to take care of yourself with the right food. You have to have a schedule which allows yourself to exercise. You have to have time to put together the better meals. But we tiptoe around this way, way, way too much. We have too many people who aren't accountable enough for their own health. They just aren't. Then we have as insidious and awful as so many illnesses are. And in many areas, Dave, and we all know this from experiences with our own lives, we've made notable progress with cancer. We still got a long ways to go. And to hear that data about not making it to your 40, to think life expectancy is 76, I was incredibly lucky to have a father live 24 years past that. And a lot of it for him was he was busy. His mind was active. He never had a single athletic drop of blood in his body, but he was the fastest walker on planet Earth. So he took care of himself. He relished every day of his life. Well, that was because of work, right? And his family. Find more things in your life, Dave, if you're lucky enough, and keep looking for them. And it's people around you, whatever it might be, to love and take care of yourself. Because we have an endless list of marvelous doctors and medical facilities. But when I hear this, Dave, and I want you to chime in too, a lot of it strikes me as we ourselves, collective citizens of this country, are not willing to do enough to take care of ourselves. Not everybody, but too many people fall into that category.
It's 100% true. We have every advantage one could have in the world as a country. We have plenty of money, plenty of intelligence, some of the greatest medical minds in the world taking, you know, aim at diseases that it's a sedentary lifestyle, and it's personal choices for a lot of it. And it's shocking. Those numbers, as I read them this morning, blew me away.
Yeah. It's sad. It is. And, I mean, listen, Jason's talked about this. And I think he now is going to go to a doctor. Too many men are just dopes on not going to see a doctor, right?
Yeah, and guilty.
They're available.
I haven't been for a physical in, gosh, 7-8 years.
Stop it. You need to correct that
right away.
Let's chat with Police Chief Brian O'Hara about the police reform announced today. It looks like it should be significant. It was required by a pattern of abuse outlined. We'll get the police chief's thoughts on that and other parts. In fact, if you have a particular question to ask Brian O'Hara through a text on reform or something else tied to his job, we will definitely take a look at your text. Send me those at 651-461-9226.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Large news today in Minneapolis, where the city council this morning, by an 11-0 vote, approved a sweeping plan to reform policing. Now that the vote has taken place, the public will be able to read the 144-page settlement agreement. This all came about because of last year when the Minnesota Human Rights Commissioner, Rebecca Lucero, it was in April, said the Minneapolis, said Minnesota's largest police agency stopped, searched, arrested, used force, and killed people of color, especially black people, at starkly higher rates than white people during a 10-year period. And Brian O'Hara, the police chief of Minneapolis, is on to join us here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. He is on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Brian, good to talk to you again. If someone is listening right now and they are a person of color listening in the city of Minneapolis and they've been around for a while, they're in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and they feel like they've been targeted more often than they want to share. But they also want crime to be enforced, right? They're not trying to be soft on that. And they've heard about changes before. Why should they feel like these changes are really going to alter how they are treated moving forward?
Yes, Chad, thank you. Well, I think it's absolutely true that those folks in our community that have been most affected by policing itself and police enforcement are also those who are most vulnerable to serious street crime and gun violence, and often those who are afraid to allow their kid to walk to the store. So I think addressing both the issues around safety and addressing both the issues around police reform and building trust in the police department are one and the same, trying to achieve ultimately the same goal that everybody has here, to just simply have good policing. And I know people have heard this before historically around policing in cities around the country. But I think what is different in this type of process is that we actually have a very lengthy court enforceable document. And I'm not saying that, you know, bringing about the culture change that we need to actually change how policing is experienced on the street isn't of itself the end all be all of this you know, this type of agreement. But what happens when you have this is the city is forced to make certain investments in police department to ensure that we get things right. And then we have to prove it to an independent evaluator before the court. Otherwise, we will not be in compliance with the terms of the agreement, and the city could go on indefinitely in this situation. So I think what this brings about is it brings about a mandate by a court and one where we will have to demonstrate that all of our officers are performing policing to the way that the community expects all of the time.
Okay, I want you to expand on that because I've read about this, about what you're going to have to prove and show. You talked about it a little bit in the answer, but let's amplify this. For the audience who hears that for the first time, try to be as specific as possible. When you're now in charge of this department, what will you have to show, and who will be regulating this to see if you're living up to this agreement?
Yes. So, for example, I think, you know, a number of reforms and policy revisions have happened in this city, especially over the last 3 years. And I think if you talk to a lot of the cops, I think they would tell you, hey, look, you know, a lot of our policies have been revised so many times and they've just become so long that they don't feel comfortable enough to actually understand what some of that even means, what some of these changes mean. And what happens in this process is we have to have both community involvement and we have to have input from the cops, as well as the state MDHR and the city attorney's office to ensure that we're revising policies so that they're as clear as possible, but we're not just going to email them out to the police department as had been done in the past. We're going to have to spend some serious hours providing real training to the cops. And I think that's what they want. They want to know that there's some support and some direction so that they know what we have to do going forward. And that's what this agreement mandates. It mandates that we provide numerous hours of adult-based learning and scenario-based training in facilities that are appropriate to provide that level of training. Because the reality is our cops are put out here every single day, put into situations that are incredibly difficult to figure out, and they just simply want and need the right direction, the right training, so that they can respond on a level that community expects.
Okay, so let me stay with the police. And you talked about the training, you talked about the information. You know this better than me. You live this every day. You need more police officers. You need more quality police officers. Do you have any concerns that in trying to do the right thing, to be more fair, to treat people of color the same way whites are, whether it's just everyday activity, whether it's a potential police encounter, whatever it might be, just there should be no difference, that in making any of these changes, that police officers will feel, I understand the intent of it, but you've taken too many tools away from me, and I don't feel like I can do my job as well as I've done before.
Yeah. Well, I understand that sentiment because I have lived through this before. As a Newark police officer, I was a cop in Newark before we had a federal consent decree. I lived through that process and led it where there was a lot of resistance, both internally and with community as we went through it. So I know what that looks like. However, here the situation is different. This police department has lost hundreds of officers, and the cops that are here absolutely amaze me every day with the incredible work that they do. We have cops that are performing multiple functions every day just to make up for the staffing shortages that we have. And we are seeing real results of their hard work. We're finally turning a corner around crime and violence that's been at an absolutely unacceptable level here. And I think the difference is here, cops in this town that have stayed are resilient, and they are incredibly dedicated to this community and to serving and to trying to provide policing the right way. But I think this will help provide, you know, the support and the training that they need. I think a lot of this agreement that does have certain restrictions, I know that that can be frustrating. I know that certain people can pick certain things out of this agreement and say, you know, hey, we can't do this anymore. You know, but I know the reality of the bigger picture. A lot of the stuff that is being prohibited has been prohibited here by policy already. Some things have been done here for years, but there still is other work that needs to be done. And I think in the bigger picture of things, I want people to know that we are still going to be the police, that the most important thing here is we cannot have our police department sort of fall back, especially not now while we're actually making a whole lot of progress around violence and serious crime. And I don't think that's going to be an issue here at all. I think our cops are hungry for direction and they're hungry to move forward.
You are listening to the chief of police in the city of Minneapolis, Brian O'Hara. We're talking about a unanimous vote by the city council for dramatic changes in police reform. Brian, can you back up some of that with some data, some examples, when you're talking about turning the corner and some dramatic changes? Can you amplify in that so the audience understands what you're talking about? And is this all still tied to Operation Endeavor? And is Operation Endeavor still taking place even today?
Sure. The reality is, year to date, I believe there have been 38 fewer victims of gun violence in the city. So that's already 38 fewer families affected by a shooting. And that's real. And the numbers across the board around violent crime are down. And we're providing those results at a staffing level that we have not seen in decades. So I think that's incredible. But I think what's most essential to doing that work that we have to be most thankful for is just the incredible amount of partnerships and collaborations that we have with our federal, state, and county partners. And yes, Operation Endeavor is a part of that. Operation Endeavor, you know, continues to go on, and it will continue to evolve and change over time. But I think the most basic idea that people need to know is that we are working collaboratively, both with law enforcement and community-based organizations, to target and to be as precise as we can to address those who are causing the most havoc and most harm in our community. And quite frankly, you know, one issue that we have, you know, that is a very serious concern continues to be stolen vehicles in the city. And this whole problem around these thefts of Kias and Hyundais that are just simply too easy to steal and almost like a revolving door of every time officers come into contact with juveniles who are stealing these cars and then becoming involved in gun violence and more serious crime. And the reality is, the way it's playing out now, there is a lack of accountability, I believe, over young people that are involved in those crimes, and it is resulting in deadly consequences for many of them.
So I want to talk accountability, and I'm lucky enough to – I'm good friends with a number of people who own businesses – really in the core part of downtown Minneapolis. And they feel like that what has happened is, especially in the summer, right? I mean, who wants to be out on a disastrous night like this? But, you know, in a month from now, it might be just beautiful out in all across the state, including downtown Minneapolis. Then when it gets to 10:30, 11 o'clock, near the weekend and for sure on weekends, that the same individuals who are down, are coming downtown to cause trouble and to create criminal activity, and that they see him, and enough of them are not arrested, and they keep coming back. And until this same group, the same core, faces charges and faces implications, you're going to have businesses who are wary about downtown, and you're going to have the public, which is wary about downtown. I work downtown. I've lived downtown. I may live downtown again in a couple of years. But I want to believe that if the same individuals are causing the same disturbances, that they shouldn't be allowed to do that on a regular basis.
Well, there is a lot of progress that has been made downtown, particularly late at night, like as you mentioned. The number of violent crimes has decreased dramatically over time downtown, and the number of illegal guns that have been recovered, particularly at night downtown, is also significantly up. But I'm hopeful for this summer is a new plan that the city has moving forward to try and reshape a lot of what downtown looks like in the evening, to create some pedestrian zones to sort of make it a little bit more difficult for some of these incidents to occur. I think, you know, the idea is to have more families, more people taking up space on the street, as well as making it a little bit more difficult for somebody to get into an argument and go back to a vehicle and get a gun, which is something that we see happen way too often.
Asking you to be blunt and honest on this, are there parts of this agreement where in your ideal world those changes would not have been included, but you know this was the art of compromise and you had to accept them?
Yes, absolutely. I debated parts of this agreement for sure, no question.
Would you be willing to share the parts you had hesitancy about?
I would prefer not to. This is a settlement agreement, and you know, now I embrace it. I did have some concerns that I have voiced, and through the negotiation process came to an agreement on and settled on. I looked at the data and I said, hey, you know, how much is this really going to affect us? And looking at the bigger picture, I acknowledge that it will not have some of a public safety concern in the sense that I was initially concerned, because I think a lot of the stuff that's in there has already been adapted by Minneapolis police. And in some cases, for a couple of years, there's been a lights out program in Minneapolis where police officers, for years would stop officers with, would stop folks that have a headlight out and then give them a voucher to get the light repaired. So that type of stuff has already been happening here for years. And I don't think it's going to have I don't think any of those things are going to prevent us from doing what we need to do, which is to be precisely focused on the sort of that 1% that is out here that's pulling triggers and causing the most harm. And that's what we're going to continue to leverage our partnerships with law enforcement and community to address those folks as much as possible.
Brian, I appreciate you coming on. I hope we can do it fairly often, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Chad.
The police chief of Minneapolis, Brian O'Hara, on a significant and busy day with police reform in Minneapolis. You need to have Lindis Construction come out for a free heat map analysis. Yes, you still have your heat on because this state is a clown show. Blois apparently not wearing a vest. Thank you. This will be a better show without his vest. Blois is in for Jason. Thank you so much for putting up with my coughing and sneezing. Hopefully I'm 100% on Monday. I hope you have a fabulous weekend. We'll talk then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.